Orion, they think it's going to be easy and fun. This is going to be hard. Now, hey, no, excited about Romans. Let me just share with you. We typically take a book of the Bible, go through it very slowly, so this should be no different here. Guys, the heart in doing this is that each one of us would humble ourselves before God and ask Him through the Holy Spirit to lead us, to continue to transform us. No matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, or if this is new to you, or you're just here checking it out, I want to welcome you. And so this is day one on this journey. Let me just pray before we jump in. My Lord, thank you. Humble myself before you. I am in no way adequate to break apart or understand the mystery of you complete. I just pray that you'd reveal in part to us today the part that you have for us from this scripture, that you, Lord, that you would fill me up with your Spirit, and that through the Spirit that I would share the words that you want us to hear, Lord, and that you would teach us and transform us through this, Lord. And so I surrender my will. I surrender any impulse I would have to please people, that I would be a slave, a servant, a doulas to you, and not to man. And I pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. So, thinking about how to introduce this, I think, you know, the best way, so you might see this word, have you seen this word here, the first word on the title here? Guys, we've put Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, and the title, this first word, if I say it in my own improper pronunciation, is doulas. And doulas is a Greek word, and we're going to kind of get into the meaning of that. But I hated to put an English word because I think it would be an incomplete picture of what the Lord is leading me to talk to you about today. So as way of introduction for Romans, let me just start in with the scripture. So grab your Bibles, if you would, here, and turn. And the scripture I'm giving you here is ESV version, but you might have, you know, NIV or NASB or King James or New King James, and all that's fine too, and that's probably one of the reasons why we'll go back to the Greek word here to make sure that we understand that. So let me just start this way. Romans 1, Paul, a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, if I back up to verse 1, first question, guys, we're entering a new book. What's going on here? First question, who wrote it? Well, yeah, that's awesome, right? Because he gave it to us right at the top and at the beginning. This letter is from Paul. And something I read that I never really thought about because it's sort of lost on me. When you write a letter, where do you put your name? At the end, right? And there's a proper way for folding that letter that some of us, you know, were taught in school. You take it out of the envelope and you unfold it from some sort of trifold, and at the bottom you see who it's from. Two at the top, from at the bottom. However, at this time, this message would have been delivered probably in a scroll. So could you imagine that kind of mess? Like, who's this from? Okay, you hold that end. We're going to go all the way from Paul. And I thought, wow, that's actually a smart thought. That makes sense. Why you look at these letters, and very, quite often, it's the beginning where they say who it's from. So we're not guessing here. It's not really debated amongst most people who study the scriptures that Paul is the one who wrote this. Now, who did he write this to? Well, here's an important part. That here you can find in verse 7. And it says this, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. And the love there might be better translated to beloved. fascinating to me, at least, okay, you might find this boring, this letter wasn't written to a church, per se, right? Not to the church at Corinth or the church at Galatia. This is to those people in Rome who are beloved by God and called to be saints. Well, why is that so important, Will? You're just trying to make yourself sound smart because you did some research. No, here's why it's so important. You guys ever heard like pastors or Bible teachers beat you up on context? You're like, I get it, context is so important. But I think we need to understand here, Paul at this point hadn't been to Rome to meet with these people. He hadn't been there and set up a church and was writing a letter later. That's what we see a lot, right? He was there, set up a church. There were some issues that came in a letter and he went to address them. What we have here is believers in Christ, and a lot of them would have been Gentile, which means what? They didn't grow up in the Jewish traditions. And others of them would have grown up in Jewish traditions, and then they had received this good news about Jesus and believed it and accepted. And now they were trying to live in unity as believers, right, as a body of Christ. And so what's why I want to bring this up is I was sort of praying about that, Lord. I'm like, well, help me to understand. Led me to this question. Here's my question. How did you first hear about Jesus? Was it anyone a parent? Did a parent tell you about Jesus first? Okay. A friend? All right. Did you learn from like a pastor who was speaking to you about that? Maybe there was like a movie someone gave you or like a written track. Most of us hear and learn about Jesus, not from Jesus himself, to start with. Is that fair to say? And so what we're getting is what we would call discipleship, which is other people trying to say, hey, come follow me while I follow Jesus, and let me tell you about it. We're together on that? Does that make sense? Okay. That's what's happening here. Paul has a group of people who believe, and how they came to believe is probably not too different from us. That's what's so powerful about this, guys. A lot of these people didn't have the Bible, first of all. You understand that. And most of them, who were Gentiles and not Jews, didn't even have the Torah or anything that we would consider the Old Testament writings. They were going based on what they were told alone. And Paul here is like, what am I going to do? Because I'm trying to get there. I don't know if I'm even going to get there. Everyone believes, most of the people who study the scriptures and history believe he wrote this letter in Corinth to the people in Rome, not in Rome. He hadn't got there yet. He hoped to get there. He wouldn't. So can you imagine that if you were trying to say, I need to basically download a course here on how to follow Jesus in a letter form and send it to people I've never met, and hopefully I can do a thorough job of telling them what it means to follow Jesus, because I don't know what they were told by other people, and I don't know if I'll ever actually, he's trying to be confident, I'm sure, right? But he's hoping to get to Rome to talk to them. I think that hits home, guys. That's why this letter can hit you, because in this room, so many different backgrounds, so many different ways in which we heard about Jesus, so many different philosophies in how we follow Jesus. We got homeschool and public school and charter school, right? In Arizona, you can do no school. You know, you grew up in all those ways, Catholics and people who were part of a Mormon church or some other kind of church, a Pentecostal or a conservative Christian or a Lutheran or a Methodist. I mean, we've got all of that here, guys, in case you don't know. And so when we come together, what I'm excited about, guys, and I'm really excited about, but it's hard, because we're going to have to humble ourselves and keep our hearts soft enough that the Holy Spirit can guide us and direct us, that he can, one, confirm the right things we were taught and correct the wrong things we were taught. And I don't want to rush through that, because only thing that we're waiting for is Jesus to come back or him to end my days and I go to be with him. So until then, we'll just keep going through his word, keep trying to follow him. And so I'm excited to go on that journey. There's the introduction for you. So there's something up there that kind of misled you. I said Romans 1, verses 1 through 7. I'll call it a pause. God paused me. We're getting one verse in today. It's a new record for me. I'm getting older, so I might be slowing down a little bit. You know, this is just natural. I got paused after verse 1. So let me read verse 1 to you. My Bible has a title above it. It says greeting, right? Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus. This is where I got caught up. Guys, when I always read this, I've grown up in the church, okay? And I got to tell you, what I'm going to share with you today, I am far from figuring out. I am far from being perfect in. But this is something that I can tell you in my house that God is just really nudging and calling us into. And I feel like in these, I just read through these greetings. You guys do that? Just get through the greeting real quick, right? It's like the movies now. If you don't stay for 20 minutes through all the credits, you don't see the thing you really wanted to see, some sort of random thing put in there, right? That then you'll know what the next movie's going to be. And so this is like it. It's like at the beginning, we just read that, hey, it's from Paul, a servant. I get it. Yeah, a servant, whatever. Like, I serve. I put some cream puffs on this plate, you know, like one Sunday a month. I get it. Like, I'm doing it, right? No, please understand, this is where God paused me. The word servant here, it's really a bad thing, because when you think of a servant, or you think about your way and you've served, which ways have you served God? And like, talk to me back. It's not hypothetical. Which ways have you served? What have you done to serve God? Foster care, okay? Teaching. All-nighters, right? With kids, yeah. Prayer, right? Nick helped me put grape juice into little cups. Apparently, they're called the perfect cup. And you put it in there with a... He did that today to serve God, right? You've cleaned things. You've baked things. You've talked to people you probably didn't want to, right? You've attended classes or taught classes. We've done these things. And when they're over, you leave and you go home. And so when I tell you to serve God, what you do is you're like, I get it, right? When I can, when I got the energy or the time or the freedom, I'll go ahead and give God a little. Fair? Dang English. It's not good enough, okay? This servant word is not good enough. And you know me, I'm not the smartest guy. I don't know. I'll mispronounce 9 out of 10 Greek and Hebrew words, maybe 10 out of 10. But Paul, a servant. The word servant here, bear with me, doulos. D-O-U-L-O-S. The word servant is translated from the Greek word doulos, which means bondservant or slave. Well, what does that mean? Well, he tells us he's the doulos of Jesus. Doulos. The difference between a bondservant and a servant is really the bondservant is a more slave-type position, and you can't get your North American view of slavery. You've got to go to Hebrew view of slavery and indentured servants and bondservants. So a bondservant, which you see it talked about in the scripture, they could have become that way for a lot of different reasons. But one thing that we know for sure, right, and I'll show you the biblical proof. What it is oftentimes it was you became a slave to someone in order to pay off a debt. So you lost your freedom and your master had control over everything for you. Very different than servant. Very different than, oh, yeah, I don't know, I'm tired. I can't fill the communion cups today. You see the difference? So a doulos of Christ is one who is inalienably possessed by him, by Christ. You are possessed, owned by him, okay? Also, another way to say it, one who is subservient to and entirely at the disposal of his master, a slave. That could be a way to define doulos. Servants can change their masters, right? They can change their masters while slaves cannot unless someone else from the outside frees them. Does that make sense? When you choose to serve people, they can be interchangeable. So you have a right to determine whether what they're asking you to do is valid or invalid. When you're a slave, you obey that which you're commanded. Very different animal, guys. So the bondservant slave is devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. Well, Will, this is getting really fun and interesting. I'm glad I came today. You're welcome. That's not me. Hey. Remember Jesus told that story about who would begin building without counting the cost? I believe that's what Paul's doing here. It wasn't just some sort of random, like, title. Or like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm a slave of Jesus. He is intentional, and the Holy Spirit is intentional. What he's doing is saying, hey, I know you guys think you want to be Christians. I'm here, this letter is supposed to help you understand what this means to be one that follows Jesus. And this is what he starts off with. So the bondservant, the doulos, let me give you a little more scripture. Jeremiah 34, 14 says this, at the end of 7 years, each of you must set free the fellow Hebrew who has been sold to you and has served you 6 years. You must set him free from your service. We've got three scriptures here. Jeremiah 34, 14, if you're taking notes, these are kind of smaller. Exodus 21, 2, and Deuteronomy 15, 12. Basically what's happening is because there was this thing established in society, the Hebrews had to address this. What does a Hebrew master do with a Hebrew slave? What does a Hebrew slave do with a Hebrew master? The Hebrews made this law, you see, from God, part of the Mosaic law. And if you were a slave of someone, an indentured servant, if you were paying off a debt, they could only work you for 6 years. In the seventh year, you were set free. I know some of the Sunday school teachers are like, can we do that too? Can I do this like 6 years and then get a year off? Interesting, right? Well, so I'm not telling you this because some commentary, like the scripture says this really clearly. There was servants, and the Hebrews didn't say this was a bad thing, but you treated them, these doulos, as, I don't even know if you can pluralize that, but anyway, I will. That you could treat these doulos this way and you had to set them free. But an interesting thing happened because a lot of these, not all of them, became doulos by choice for life. It was a choice that they made. They had 6 years to kind of try it. And Exodus 20 says this. Exodus 25 says, but if a slave declares, I love my master and my wife and my children, I do not wish to go free. His master shall take him before Elohim, which is God, right? He shall be brought by the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall then remain his slave for life. Yeah, right? Becoming a doulos for life requires a choice, followed by constant choosing. Well, what do you mean, Will? Why do you say that? See, we jump past what Paul said, but here's what he's saying. He's got, and he could say the same thing here. Like, I know you guys, you went to Vacation Bible School, or you went to college, or you went to church, and you learned about that. I'm here to write you this letter in case I don't get to you, because I don't know what you believe and what you see is true, but let me tell you who I am and who I am. My name is Paul, and I've made a choice to be a doulos for life, for Jesus. And when he said that, what he's saying is, I made a choice to do this, and that's followed by constantly choosing to follow him. What do you think, how could you get out of being a slave? There is one way out. Die, yeah, right? You could die. So, sometimes I wonder, you know, if we might make a choice, but we don't keep choosing to surrender our will to God. And what happens when we do that, guys? Anyone who's done it, your life starts to decay. It starts to die, right? And the bad news is you're here and you're hearing the truth. I'm sorry, you shouldn't have came today, because then you wouldn't hear the truth and then you couldn't be held accountable for it. But God has put you in this time and this place so you can hear this truth. And the reality now is there's only one pathway to life, and that is to keep choosing to follow him. And what Paul is saying, and what I'm submitting to you, is I believe that what Paul is saying, you guys want to do this? You want to follow Jesus? You want to be part of the body of Christ? You want to be part of the family of God? If you want to be part of the inheritance, you're going to have to give it all up. You're going to have to choose and keep choosing to be a bond servant for Jesus. But honestly, what I think doesn't really matter, and so I've got to ask you a couple questions. First of all, have I adequately answered this? What does Paul mean when he calls himself a doulos of Christ? What do you think? 100% sold out to Christ. Somebody else? Love Jesus unconditionally. It's so much better when you guys talk, man. Say it. Obedience. Being obedient. Yeah. No longer my will, but his will. Only. What's that? Following when it hurts. Can we be honest? It's hard. Like, man, there's so much parts of my life I'm still holding on to, guys. And just because God asked me to get up here and speak to you doesn't mean I have this figured out. The cool thing about going through this is I feel transformed when we go through this too. And I'm beginning to see, and do you feel it? Like God wants more of you. He wants more of you. He doesn't want you half doing it anymore. We're losing ourselves and our world and all the life that God promised. We are not seeing what the Bible is saying. We're not seeing what God's promised. We're not seeing his goodness. And so we make evangelism plans where I come out and say, let me invite you to an iffy life where every Sunday I go to a church and give them some money. And they make me feel guilty to serve little kids in the nursery. This is not what God said. Right? This is not what God said. What Paul is saying is like, listen, now everything else doesn't matter. He says this all over the place. Like, everything else is trash compared to what I know. It's worse than that, right? Like, I am now forever his. By choice. And honestly, it'd be a little easier, right? You knew a guy. You remember George, right? Yeah, I remember George, yeah. He decided to stop following Jesus and the lightning struck him dead. So now I'm afraid I'm not going to do that. But that's not what happens. The person who says, yeah, I'm in, and I don't want to get into debate about your security of your... Anyway, that's not what this is about. What I'm saying is you stop following him, watch your life decay and die. And like a funeral parlor owner, you just put makeup on and try to look alive, but you're dying because you have stepped away from the source of life. So, okay, second question. This is really important too. And you've got to answer. You've got to talk with God about this. You need to know this answer for yourself. Does that mean that you have to be a doulos for Christ as well? A doulos of Christ as well? Just because he was. Was he supposed to be some sort of superpower Christian? And like me, it's okay if I just give him some things? No. And that's not something you have to answer out loud. But I think why I have to stop, guys, on this verse is because we just can't keep going yet until I say this to you. Well, I don't know, Will. Maybe it's just Paul. I don't know. He says some pretty bold things, right? The guy is hard to live up to. To try to live like Paul is a tall order. Is that fair to say? Well, there was this guy, Jesus. Remember him? So in Matthew, check this out. Matthew 16, here's what he said. So Peter, right, who also would just speak, he was trying to challenge God about, he's trying to challenge Jesus, which is God, right? About what was going to happen to him and about the persecution, like, no way. And he said this to him, Matthew 16, verse 23. But he, that's Jesus, turned and said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you're not setting your mind to the things of God, but on the things of man. And I just read that so fast. Peter, you're you're so focused on all this and you've taken your eyes off God. You're a hindrance to me when you do this. You're a hindrance to yourself. And then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Guys, that could be the story of my life, you know? Everything you're holding on, right? Like, yeah, servant I like better because I can just do that in stints and then step away and feel like I've done what God's asked me to do. But he didn't ask me to just offer a little service and hold on to my life. Jesus was very clear. Anyone who's going to hold on to the life is really going to lose it. Only when you let go of your life, then you find it. Hey, anyone, have you experienced that? Like in pieces probably, right? That's what I would say. I think there's other parts. I mean, God is even putting on my heart. That's my prayer, is that he's going to put some of these things on your heart, and you're going to begin to give more things over to him. And what we're going to see is just this life. Because you're losing your life for him, and you will begin to gain it. And then you become a witness by just breathing. It's not like a program you have to do. Do you understand? It's just everywhere that you go, what's up with this guy? He's like alive. Have you lost your life and gained it? Or have you controlled and held on and been afraid and watched it decay? Okay, well, maybe Jesus and Paul were just talking about the Roman ones, you know, because the empire. No. Okay, so Galatians, right? You can check every letter and they all say this. Galatians 2:20. Paul, same guy, right? Writing to the church at Galatia. This time it's to the church. He says, verse 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And then Romans, later on we'll get there, but I need to bring it in. Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You don't have to die. You live as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The church at Philippi, Philippians 2:5. Have this mind amongst yourselves. Have this mind amongst you. This is how you have to think, guys. Which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of, there's that doulos word again, a servant, a slave. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Even God, when he came and became man, Jesus made himself a slave, a servant, bondservant, to pay for our sins. And his only way out was to die, and he stayed obedient all the way through it. And when we put on this badge of being Christ-like, if he does that, we need to do that. We are a doulos of Christ until we die and go to be with him. Well, what does that look like, Will? Churches, we're always trying to do this, right? Like, okay, we'll give you a Bible reading plan. Because if you don't devote more time, then that's great, right? Or we have these programs you can do. I think that could help. You know, the youth group and young adults, they spend more time together. That can help. You have a small group maybe you're part of. Or like at home in your family and you talk about God. I mean, all that helps. But in the end, what I need to tell you today is just the invitation that Paul's saying is like, guys, people who are loved by God, which I think that's you. I know that that's most of you. I don't know each one of you, but I see it in a lot of your lives, and I know for some reason he feels that way about me. That I'm beloved. All of you who's beloved by Christ, I'm writing you this letter. I'm giving you these words that God gave me that you would know. That be like me. Follow me as I follow Christ. And know what he's asked us to do is you've got to give it all up, lay it all down, insert other church words here. In the end, understand, guys, when this is all said and done, we don't go into a democracy. You get that? We go into a monarchy where there's a good king. And so we want choices, we want freedom, we want our way, we want our life. You do you, I'll do me. That is not true. And you can hold on to it and probably still see you in heaven. I know we're missing out on life. We're dying, right? Slowly because we're holding on to our life instead of living fully because we're giving our life up. And I don't want to live all the rest of the years I have left that way anymore. I mean, you can try anything. Just try, right? When you try, what happens? You can like really be great at your job, but you're going to get older, right? Or the company's they're going to sell to someone. Come on, right? You can try to look really good, but geez, you just start looking weird, right? Because just things start falling. It's just you're not going to be a calendar model forever. And like, you can be really smart, but someone else is smarter. You can put your life into someone else as a person. They're going to fail you or they could die or get sick, right? And like, you can't control any of those things. And you could just force it and try to hold on to your life. And then you end up like, right, like you're like prematurely gray and sick and on 75 pills that you got to take every day so you don't die. And this is how Paul opens his letter. This is the message that I have to bring to you guys. I believe 100% we all have masters. It's kind of like free agency in a way. You guys follow sports, you know? It's like we were in contract with sin. Like, we were just going to do that. We were in contract with the world, and you were like, you know, world, you're right. I have to serve myself and everyone else around me. I'm going to please my comfort and pleasure and desires and try to keep everyone happy. How's that work when you try to keep everyone happy? What happens to everyone? Go ahead and say the words. You guys know. No one's happy, right? Right? And my wife is smiling because she knows after living with me for so long. Right? Including yourself. You're probably the most miserable. Everyone else around you is miserable. Nothing's going well, right? And the world is like, okay, serve. We become a master to our desire as a master to the things of this world. We're mastered by the things of this world or people. And so Jesus came and he gave us an option. He says, I'd like to offer a trade. And you're no longer going to serve that. But the only way you're going to get out of that is to sign a new contract with me. But before you sign this contract, understand what this means. That team, they were watching you and they controlled you, you just didn't know it. Right? You felt good, you felt alone, but I'm not lying to you. Like, you come in, I'm going to be your master, and I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're going to obey me. You can't say that, Will. It's not America. I know it's not, right? Dang. No wonder we're losing so much ground. I don't even know what that means to have a king. Do you? I don't. I don't even know what it means to have a master. Like, geez, we're so undisciplined. We don't think we're serving other people, but we're serving everyone instead of the one true king. And so this is it. You guys want to do this? Here's what Paul's saying. You got to give it. He's repeating what Jesus said. If you want to get your life, you give it up. If you want to hold on to your life, you will lose it. You want to follow Jesus, this is an all-in sort of deal. Otherwise, you're going to make yourself crazy. I'll still love you. If you want to keep living crazy, I'll still love you. I'll still be here. I pray we'll both all be doing whatever we're going to do when we get to heaven, right, together. But what I would love to see more is that you would spend this time in prayer now. When we get done here, we're going to take communion. But also, there's all these hours between now and next Sunday when we get together. So pray, and don't be bullied by Will to give up your life, okay? Let God, in the Holy Spirit, right, which indwells the believers, to lead you in the areas in which you're still holding on, which are decaying and dying, that need to be released. Maybe it's relationships, right? Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's like certain sin habits because we don't have faith. And we're going to get into more of this, but for now, consider this call to become a slave to Jesus, like Paul. So I want to pray and invite the praise team to come back up. And I don't want mystery or trickery here. So there's communion elements. This time we're going to go to it instead of bring it to you. There's a table back here in this corner. There's a table back here in this corner. And so any point in time in the next songs that they play as an act of worship, I would invite you to go to take communion and to pray, maybe with someone around you or with yourself, that you would come to the table. And know that the Lord is with you. And begin this conversation. Begin this conversation about, is it true, Lord? Are you calling every believer, not just Paul, to be a fully surrendered doulos of Christ? And if he says, yeah, then you got a decision to make. And once you make that decision, look at everyone around you. That's why we're supposed to help each other keep choosing. We choose and we keep choosing. Maybe you've never made this decision at all and you need someone to pray with. Would you know that, man, I would love to pray with you as well as people around you. If there's some work that you need to do with the Lord this morning, this is the perfect time for that, okay? So I'm going to pray. Get out of the way of what the Lord's doing. And we'll sing. Lord, it's a lot of words for one sentence. So take all of that, Lord. All that I could offer, take that and speak to the hearts, to the spirits of the people here. Speak to them. Those that you love in Prescott Valley, Chino, and Dewey. Call them forth, Lord, to come to serve you with their life. That you would be their master, their Lord, their King, their guide, their all-sufficiency, and that they would be submitted in obedience, that we would walk in your righteousness, that we would follow you. Keep working in us, Lord, to bring up all the things that we need to renounce, all the things that we need to release, all the things that we need to put to death, that we would hold nothing back. That, Lord, we would give our life to you so that we would gain it. And I want this prayer to continue, Lord. I love you and I praise your name.